One of my favorite movies is the 1987 film The Princess Bride. I don't know if you've seen that movie. It's kind of an older one, I guess, and it's maybe dating me a little bit, but there's a moment in the film where it looks like all hope is lost. The hero of the film, Wesley, is seemingly dead, but his two companions, Fezzik and Inigo Montoya, are unwilling to accept this fact that he is dead and accept defeat. And so they decide they're going to go to this guy who's known as Miracle Max. There's Miracle Max, played by Billy Crystal. And they're hoping that this guy Max is going to do a miracle for them to somehow help the hero, Wesley. And they try to convince Max that although they don't have much money, performing this miracle would be an incredibly noble cause. And so Max replies to this, "He probably owes you money. I'll ask him." And Inigo Montoya, kind of taken aback, says, "He's dead. He can't talk." And Max replies, "Oh, look who knows so much. Well, it just so happens that your friend here is only mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Mostly dead is slightly alive. Now, all dead, well, with all dead, there's usually only one thing you can do." "What's that?" asks Inigo Montoya, and Max replies, "Go through his clothes and look for loose change." Well, it's kind of funny, at least in the movie, is that line. But eventually, Max gives them this miracle pill that is going to somehow bring Wesley back. And you'll have to watch the rest of the movie to see what happens after that. It's a pretty funny scene in the movie. Again, Billy Crystal plays this character really well. And I think one of the funny things about this scene is just how ridiculous this idea of someone being mostly dead is, right? I mean, we all know that when someone dies, they're not coming back. That's it. But that's what is so miraculous and astonishing about the reason that we're here today. Because the reason we're here today on this Easter Sunday is that Jesus, who was not mostly dead on the cross, he was all dead. He was in the grave. His body was laid in a tomb. A stone was rolled in place to seal it. And that was it. I mean, there was no miracle pill that was going to wake Jesus up. And yet, when some of his followers arrived at the tomb on Sunday morning, they found something that shocked them. That Jesus' body was gone, and angels proclaimed that Jesus was risen from the dead. My sermon title this morning is Life Out of Death. We're going to look at this amazing Easter proclamation that Jesus, who was really dead, is now alive. And that the miracle of Jesus' resurrection points to God's power to not only do this in Jesus, but that he actually has the power to do the same thing for us. That he is able to bring life out of death in our lives, life out of death in our world. So our text this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. This is the account of the empty tomb, and so we'll have the verses on the screen, or you can follow along in your Bibles. Luke 24, beginning with verse 1. "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' And then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and this powerful account of that first Easter Sunday as these women went to the tomb and were completely surprised to see not a dead body, but to hear the message that Jesus had been risen from the dead. We pray that as we look into this passage, that you would speak to us too of how you are wanting to bring life into the dead areas in our lives, and how you are able to give resurrection life to us as well. So open our ears, Lord, and speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about this Easter proclamation of life out of death, I want to start by thinking about the reality of death and loss in our world. If there is any power to the message of Easter, it is that in this reality of death in our world that God is able to bring life. So how do we see this reality of death and loss in our world? Well, I'm sure that many of you, like me, were shocked this past Monday to see photos of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris up in flames. We were kind of all glued to this, right, on our TVs or online. This beautiful, historic cathedral was suddenly in danger of being completely destroyed. Thankfully, firefighters were able to put out the blaze before it destroyed the entire structure, but there is still great loss to such a beloved landmark in the heart of Paris. One Parisian remarked, "It is like losing a member of one's own family. For me, there are so many memories tied up in it." French President Emmanuel Macron said, "This is the place where we have lived all our great moments, the epicenter of our lives. It is the cathedral of all the French." As I was reflecting on this story that happened just this past week, the fact that this fire in Notre Dame happened on the Monday of Holy Week, it reminded me that we all come to Easter Sunday living in a world that is full of loss, that is full of death. Cathedrals burn in our world. Homes are destroyed by natural disasters. Families and communities are torn apart by mass shootings and war. Our own congregation has experienced the reality of death and loss recently. Over the past two weekends, we had memorial services for two beloved women in our church, Dorothy Sandin and Rosie Chin. And in January, Alfred Lee, a founding member of our Chinese department, passed away. Some of you this past year have lost parents, grandparents, friends, and we've had to bid farewell to some beloved members of our church who've moved away from Brooklyn as well. And so we've experienced loss over the last weeks and months and year. Jesus' followers, they were dealing with the same thing on that first Easter Sunday morning. When the women came to Jesus' tomb early Sunday morning, they were crushed. They weren't expecting to see a risen Savior. They were expecting to honor the one who had died, but it was the one who they were completely crushed that he had died. Actually, later in the same chapter in Luke, we see two of Jesus' followers walking on their way to a village called Emmaus, and they say, "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." There had been such high hopes for Jesus. Last Sunday, we looked at Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and we talked about this last Sunday, that the people, as they were shouting, "Hosanna," what they were doing is they were shouting out their hopes and expectations that Jesus was going to be this king who was going to overthrow the Romans and bring Israel back to a place of power and influence in the world. And so they were all expectant and hopeful. And then 5 days later, Jesus was dead. All their hopes were dashed. Maybe you're entering this Easter Sunday in a similar place. Maybe you're here today and you're dealing with loss that's happened in your life recently. Or maybe you're dealing with disappointment. Things haven't turned out the way you had hoped. We recently finished a sermon series based on the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality over the last several weeks by Pastor Pete Scazzaro. And one of the chapters in this book that we looked at talked about the reality of grief and loss and how we experience different losses in our lives. You know, sometimes those losses are really big, like some of the things that I talked about earlier, a death or a catastrophe like Notre Dame burning down or a natural disaster. But the reality is that we also experience smaller losses in our lives. Actually, losses that happen continually, constantly. We all lose the innocence of childhood as we grow into adults. Right? There's just certain things that we become disillusioned with that we weren't when we were kids, and that's a loss. And then later on in life, we begin to lose the ability to do things that we once were able to do. As we age, we lose dreams of what we had imagined our lives were going to be like as time goes on. And these losses in life, these just parts of just going through life, sometimes they can feel like mini deaths. The death of a dream, the death of a relationship, the death of a period of time in your life as we move through life. So the reality is that we live in a world that is full of this reality of death and loss. But we are here today on Easter Sunday because the message of Easter is that God can bring life out of death. That God is able to take these experiences of death and loss in our lives, and he's able to bring new life in the midst of them. When the women went to the tomb, they expected to find another reminder of the loss and death in our world. They expected to find a dead body. But instead, they were greeted by these two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning, who said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." These angelic messengers were proclaiming the good news that God had raised Jesus from the dead, and that not only that, but that now everything was different. Because now this God who had shown that he could bring life out of death in the person of Jesus, and we'll talk about more of the ramifications of that, that because of this, that God can bring new life in our lives and in our world. So how is that? How is it that Jesus' resurrection, the reason that we're here today, that the message that we proclaim, that Christ is risen, how does that impact us in our lives today? How does Jesus' resurrection 2,000 years ago show us that God can bring new life to you and new life to me? Well, the first way is that it shows us that God can give us eternal life even though we physically die. Jesus' resurrection showed that death doesn't have the final word in this life. That even though each and every one of us will physically die one day, that God can give us eternal life. That life, he can give us life that will last forever, even after we physically die. In the scripture reading that Kai read earlier from 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Now, I know almost nothing about farming, just as a caveat here. But one thing I do know, I think most of us could probably figure out even just from the word, first fruits, is that the first fruits of a crop are the first crops that are brought in, the first ones that are harvested. But the whole purpose of first fruits is often they were given, actually, as a sign that there are going to be many other crops that will be harvested in the future as well. And so Paul here says that Jesus' resurrection is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, that Jesus' resurrection is the first of many resurrections. That his is the first that paves the way for our own resurrection. That as Jesus rose, we too will rise from the dead one day. Over the past 2 weekends, as I preached at the memorial services for Dorothy and Rosie, I was able to point to Jesus' resurrection as the reason why we can have hope in the face of death. We don't have hope in the face of death because of some mystical vision of the afterlife. We don't have hope that, like, I just kind of hope that there's something after death. No, no, no. Our hope of heaven, our hope of life after death, it is based in a historical fact that Jesus Christ, who had died, rose from the dead. That is why we can have hope for our own death. Jesus' resurrection also points to something else. It points to the fact that even though we physically die, we can have the hope of eternal life, but it also points to the reason why that eternal life can actually come to any of us, why we can be given eternal life. Because Jesus died and rose again, now God can give spiritual life to spiritually dead people. Again, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul continues by saying, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." The Bible teaches that each and every one of us are spiritually dead. Paul says that in this passage. He says that death came through a man. A death came actually to all of us through a man. And he says that in Adam all die. And there he's talking not just about physical death. He is talking about physical death, but that there's a deeper, a spiritual death that came in Adam. There Paul is referencing the first human that we see way back in the very beginning of the Bible, in the beginning chapters of the book of Genesis, that when God created Adam and Eve, he created them spiritually alive. He created them perfect and amazing and in perfect relationship with God. And the reason that they had spiritual life was because they were connected to God, who is the source of all life. But Adam and Eve decided to go their own way. They decided to move away from God's purposes for their lives. And so they disobeyed God and they disconnected themselves from the source of their spiritual life, which meant that they became spiritually dead. Here's kind of an illustration of this. Think about a lamp that's plugged into the socket in a wall. The only reason that a lamp is able to shine is because it's connected to the power from the wall socket. Once you unplug that lamp, what happens to the light? It's gone, right? It has no life in itself. The only life that it has is that when it's connected to the power source in the wall. And that's what happened when Adam and Eve sinned, that the connection to God, the connection to life itself was pulled out. The light went out and our world was filled with darkness as a result. The reason that we live in a world that is full of death and loss, like we were talking about a little bit earlier, is because of Adam's sin. It's because the plug was pulled out. And it had ripple effects throughout all of creation. It's the reason why there are wars and mass shootings. Because sin entered the world and entered into the human race. And it's why cathedrals burn and natural disasters destroy communities. And it's also why we keep doing exactly what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. What did Adam and Eve do? They thought that they knew better than God. And they turned away from him. And guess what? Each and every one of us, we do that too. came into our lives through Adam. It's the reason that we say hurtful things to the people that we love. It's why we look down on people who are different from us. It's why we turn to addictions to deal with pain. It's why we sit in church on Easter Sunday with smiles on our faces, but deep hurts and fears and feelings of guilt and shame underneath the surface. And as hard as we might try, we can't fix this. We can't fix our broken world, and we can't even fix ourselves because we are spiritually dead. Dead people can't do anything. Lights that are unplugged, they can't plug themselves back in on their own. The only hope that you and I have for life, for light, is for someone else to raise us from the dead, is for someone else to give us spiritual life, is for someone else to plug us back into the source of life. And we are gathered here today to proclaim the message that Jesus Christ has done that for us. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. It is only through him, through Christ alone, as we're going to sing in a little while, that we can have life. When Jesus came and he died on the cross, he was taking all of our brokenness, our sin, our shame upon himself, and he paid for it in full. And when he rose from the dead, he opened the way for us to be made spiritually alive, for our sins to be forgiven, our shame to be taken away, and to get plugged back into the power source. And this leads to the final way that Jesus' resurrection shows that God can bring life out of death. Because now, God can use us to bring his redeeming life to a world full of death and loss. That is a part of the miracle of Easter too. That God, he raised Jesus to new life to give us the hope of eternal life in the face of death. That he is able to take us who are spiritually dead and raise us to new spiritual life. But that he can actually use us once we've been raised to bring that life out here into our world. When Jesus rose from the dead, he formed a new community of people who were witnesses to his resurrection. And when that community was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they began to proclaim the message of the resurrection to the world around them. They shared the good news of Jesus, that he had risen from the dead, and they invited people to receive that same resurrection life in their lives. When we look at our world around us, that is so full of death and loss, guess what? We have been given a message of hope. A message of hope that our world desperately needs to hear. We've been given the good news that Jesus, because of Jesus, God can bring death out of life for our neighbor, for our coworker, for our family member. God wants to use us as his witnesses of bringing this life to people around us. One of the striking things about the burning of Notre Dame earlier this week, maybe you noticed this too, was how quickly people pledged money to rebuild it. Right? It was almost in the midst of, as it's burning, there was this push that to say that there's no way that we're going to let this cathedral go down in ruins. There was this unquestioned certainty that Notre Dame must be rebuilt, that there must be new life that's going to come out of the loss and destruction of this beautiful cathedral. And so people said, we're going to give to make this happen. Now, soon after, there was this other question that was raised. Why were people so quick to give to the rebuilding of Notre Dame, but not to other things? You know, what about Rio de Janeiro's National Museum that was destroyed by a fire as well in September? Or what about giving aid to Yemen, which is in the middle of a humanitarian crisis? I am not going to step into that debate this morning, but it's obvious that there are tons of situations in our world that need new life, that need rebuilding, that need people to invest themselves in it to bring about life out of death. Areas devastated by natural disasters, they need to be rebuilt. Communities torn apart by violence and war, they need to hear the hope and experience the reality of peace and healing in their lives. Relationships that have been torn apart and broken, they need reconciliation and healing. People who've lost loved ones need to be comforted and brought into supportive communities. There are countless ways as we look at our world, and it can feel overwhelming when we think about the need that is there for new life to come into all of these different areas of brokenness and death and loss. But the question that is brought to you and I today is, how is God calling each of us? And how is he calling our church to be a part of this work of bringing life out of death? How to join with what God is wanting to do in our world? And so as we close, I just want to leave you with this question. What is our response? How do we respond to all of this? When we look back at our text in Luke 24, the women who heard that angel's message, they brought it to Jesus' disciples. And the disciples' response in verse 11 tells us, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. The disciples, their response was to say, this sounds ridiculous. People don't come back from the dead. And maybe you're here today and you're struggling to believe that God can really bring life out of death. Maybe you're struggling to believe that Jesus Christ really died on the cross and he actually rose to new life. Or maybe you're struggling to believe that there actually is life after death, that physical death is not just the end. Or maybe you're struggling to believe that God can actually give new spiritual life to you. Maybe you're feeling just stuck in guilt and shame and you feel broken and you wonder, God, can you actually do that in my life? Can you actually bring new life into me? Or maybe you're struggling to believe that we could have any impact in this broken world, that God could actually use us to bring life out of death. If that's you, you're in good company on this Easter Sunday, because that's exactly how the disciples responded on that first Easter. But they didn't stay there. Because verse 12 tells us, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Peter wondered what was going on there, but he went to go see for himself. He went to the tomb. And after he saw the empty tomb and the strips of linen, he still wasn't sure. He still wondered what had happened. But we know that after this, Jesus himself appeared to Peter. And he appeared to the disciples. And that made all the difference. Jesus wants to encounter us today. Part of the truth of the resurrection is that Jesus didn't just rise from the dead 2,000 years ago, but he is alive today. And he's wanting to encounter us today. He's wanting to show us his power over death. He wants us to know him personally. He wants us to receive that new spiritual life and to have the hope of eternal life. And he wants to bring us into his work of bringing life in this world. And so my question to you is, do you want those things? Do you want new life in your life? Do you want to be a part of God bringing resurrection life in this world? If you want it, it's yours. Jesus has accomplished everything for you through his death and resurrection, and all we do is simply receive this reality in faith. By believing in Jesus and saying, yes, Jesus, I believe you can do it for me. And I believe you can do it for this world. Maybe you're here today and Jesus is actually calling you to respond even today, to believe that he has the power to do this in your life. If that's you, I'd love to talk to you after the service about how to receive that gift that Jesus has given you. And if you have received that gift, how is God calling you to bring this life to the people around you? Is there a situation of loss or death that Jesus is calling you to enter into, to bring his life there? Brothers and sisters, God, our God, can bring life out of death. He can do it for you. He can do it for this world. And so on this Easter Sunday, let us receive his transforming life in our lives, and let us bring this message to a world that desperately needs it. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who can bring new life out of death, that you did it in Jesus, that God, you raised Jesus from the dead. And because of that, everything has changed. That you can bring that same new life into our lives, that you can breathe life into our spiritually dead bodies, that you can renew us and forgive our sins and cleanse us and give us a new hope and a future. And you can give us the hope of that one day, even when we physically die, we will rise again, that death is not the end. And Lord, that you can even use us as your witnesses, as your representatives, to bring resurrection life in this world to people who also need to hear this news. And so we pray that you would breathe that new life into us today as we sing this closing hymn of praise to you, Lord. This song that in Christ alone, in only you, Lord, is our hope found, that you would then send us into this world to be your agents of resurrection life to those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.